Welcome in to today's episode of Walk the Pine, our first NBA podcast of the year. We are so excited, yet so sad on a day like this. We had no plans of talking about Derrick Rose until the news broke this morning. Derrick Rose has officially retired from the NBA. And for three kids who first early memories of basketball were all Derrick Rose, I feel like it's only right for us to talk about it.
It's a sad day. It's a sad day for Vince and for everybody else in Chicago. It's a very, very sad day.
Yeah. Is that all you got? I mean, dude, I watch you cry on my couch like 20 minutes ago. I don't think it's sunk in for me yet.
Yeah, no, I've had to let it out a couple times so far.
It's tough. It's tough. He was so good. I think he's about to. Vince is looking like he's about to.
He's tearing up. He's not making eye contact.
That's fair.
Yeah, it is very bad.
For someone who.
No, man. I met Derrick Rose one time a while ago. And I was sat in line to wait for him. And this guy who we met in line, me and my buddy who were waiting, we met these guys in line who are waiting in front of us. And obviously we started talking. Big Bulls fans, big Derrick Rose fans, both of them from Chicago. And they were like, they didn't know each other either. So we all had met each other in this line. And we exchanged information and everything, like social medias and whatnot. And this guy who was in front of me had just posted this big post about Derrick Rose's retirement. And he posted a picture from like meeting him that day and like the book and everything, because it was for the book signing. It's a sad day, man. It's a really sad day.
It was his book?
Yeah, it was Derrick Rose's book.
Did you read it?
No, I'm not a huge reader. I did get it signed, though. I have the book. I got it signed. It was written with Sam Smith, which is pretty pretty interesting. But
like the singer?
No, Sam Smith, the Bulls guy. Oh. The guy who wrote the Jordan rules.
Yeah. That makes a lot more sense. That should have hit me before.
Yeah, but it's a sad day.
You saying that's pretty interesting made me immediately think that it was the singer. Like, if you were like, he wrote it with Sam Smith, I maybe would have been like, oh, okay, the guy who wrote the Jordan rules.
Well, if I remember correctly,
but you were like, well, that's
also wrote some shit about Derrick Rose, like when he was like, when he was kind of a controversial at his time of being controversial in the city. I'm pretty sure Sam Smith put out something about Derrick Rose, like an article. I remember watching it in the documentary. It was kind of a big deal, but yeah, no, it's a very sad day. Me and Will were just sitting here watching all the legendary Derrick Rose games while
3 hours of Derrick Rose highlights.
We've been really just watching Derrick Rose and being sad. And I am sad. I didn't really expect to be in a world with Derrick Rose not on an NBA roster. It's sad that my childhood has been officially closed.
16-year career, though, dude. That's kind of crazy to think about. That's been 16 years since he got drafted.
Yeah.
I remember him being drafted. Vince, you were at the game when he tore his ACL.
Yep. Great game to be at. He played so well. My only playoff game I've ever been to in my life, I'm pretty sure. That was some of my earliest memories were at that game and then watching him get hurt, and the entire stadium, the entire city of Chicago was just silent. You could hear everything in that arena at the time because of how silent it was unbelievable. The slow claps and the MVP when they walked him off, when he was like being carried off, and Noah with his hands on his head. Just some like my earliest memories were like watching that.
I mean, that's the reason he's the reason I'm a basketball fan today. Like, I feel like he is for most of Chicago, most of probably Illinois, and maybe even expanding onto some of that, like, out of the state, like, nearby areas. Like, people in Milwaukee were Bulls fans before they got Giannis. When I was a kid, you know, I have early memories of Bulls basketball. I remember I was just obsessed with the intro, but like, you got to understand, there was nothing in between Jordan and Derrick Rose. Like, there was nothing worthwhile. Like, Ben Gordon was cool.
Kirk Heinrich.
But like, we're not talking put the city on your back players here. Like,
yeah, right.
We're not talking stars. So like, I would just watch the Bulls games for the intro, and my dad would be like, all right, well, they suck. We're turning this off. Like, we're going to put something else on. And I'd be like, okay, cool. And then, yeah. And then I was like, I quit baseball because I loved basketball so much with Derek Rose. We were all rocking the outfits head to toe. I genuinely refused to wear Nike for 2 years.
Yeah.
There was nothing. I didn't own a single piece of Nike clothing.
No, only Derrick Rose shoes for like 3-4 years there. Derrick Rose is like part of the reason I wanted to play basketball for like a long time. I mean, Derrick Rose is Derrick Rose.
Safe to say the best thing that's happened in Chicago since MJ, of course.
Yeah.
Him and Patrick Kane.
In that era, you know, Cubs World Series helps a lot.
Yeah. Chris Bryant, maybe.
But just like basketball wise.
Yeah. Derrick Rose was a symbol of Chicago, and he came from Chicago. There's people in Chicago who could, you know, talked about growing up with him and like being around him. It's a sad, sad day. It's a very sad day.
No, that's like the worst part about it too. Is like we only had a 1% chance to get that number one overall pick to draft Derrick Rose. Yeah, the odds had in our favor. He becomes the youngest MVP ever, and then all of that just ripped away. By belittling injuries, one of the biggest what-if stories in NBA history, if not the biggest, but that's obviously up for debate. But let's move on. You know, we planned on talking about the NBA for the first time today since I think the finals. Yeah. We have not chopped it up about hoops since the NBA finals. So I guess it's fitting that Derrick Rose retired today, like in a weird sense, because it gave us something to talk about, Bulls-wise.
Man, I woke up today to so many texts and Instagram and just a million notifications of people being like, you see this? And I mean,
we knew.
We all knew outside. Yesterday, and that's why I knew when I woke up.
It should be a rainy, stormy day right now.
Yeah, it should be, Chicago. Man. No one should do anything.
Yeah.
No one should do anything. All the stores should be closed. I don't want to work. Hawkeye should be closed. We should just all sit around and watch Derrick Rose highlights for the entire day. That's what everyone should.
8-hour mixtapes. We'll start with the Simeon days. We'll go from Simeon to Memphis. Have to suffer through Mario Chalmers hitting a fucking game-winning shot.
We'll skip that one.
In the championship. Yeah, we'll skip it. We'll get the highlights.
Yeah.
Once we work our way to that Pacers game is when I'm going to get amped up. We already watched the highlights of that this morning.
We watched the whole Pacers game, the whole Celtics game, the whole Miami Heat game.
Oh, we broke down a couple. Yeah, the Christmas Day game, dude.
Christmas Day.
You want to know how big of an impact Derrick Rose was? You guys know how big of Bear fans I am, right?
Yeah.
Huge. Like, they...
The biggest.
The biggest Bears fan you guys know.
I think anybody knows.
Derrick Rose was so good that on Christmas Day, my birthday, turned 13 years old this day, the Bulls were playing the Lakers. At the exact same time, the Bears were playing the Packers.
You watched the Bulls game.
And I told my dad, turn the fucking Bears off. No way. Derrick Rose is on TV.
No way.
That's how big a fan I was. It's before the days of the Will G have two TVs. Now, I will say the Bulls game started at 5, and the Bears game started at 7. So.
Then this guy turned off the pregame. Oh, yeah, nice. Wow.
No. I mean, that was a long Lakers-Bulls game. So I missed like the first quarter of the Bears game. I think it was like a 5:30, 7 o'clock overlap. I missed the first quarter of the Bears game. Bears lost like 35-12. They got their asses beat. You know, it wasn't a game that I was expecting to win anyway. And I mean, we were talking about the MVP. That I'm just saying that it's like me today, if the Bulls were on TV, even 2 years ago when it was like DeMar, Zach, all of them, like I'd be like, turn the fucking game off, the Bears are on. Like, I love the Bulls. You know, I'm a huge Bulls fan, but that's how good Derrick Rose was. That's how good those Bulls teams were, dude. That's how good. All right, let's move on. Over the next 4 weeks, we are going to have 6 NBA podcasts coming out for you guys. One for each division, starting with the NBA.
Starting with the
Southeast Division of the NBA. Which includes the Orlando Magic, the Atlanta Hawks, the Washington Wizards, Miami Heat, and Charlotte Hornets.
Yes, sir. Nice.
That is where we started.
The dome, wasn't it? Good job.
So we'll kick it off with the Orlando Magic and their offseason moves.
Yeah. obviously, they extended Franz Wagner. Huge for them. He's definitely a key piece to their success right now. The Magic are a sleeper team, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Paolo Banchero does not get the love he deserves. You know, I feel other people, similar age, similar output, getting so much more praise. This guy kind of goes underlooked for me. You know, what else did they do for their offseason to help?
Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is, you know, a solid vet guard.
Yeah.
Who's going to help them with depth. The thing about probably most of these teams, like the Magic and the Heat, are they're going to be the two that we focus on in on the most.
Yeah.
Two of the better teams in the East. Can't even say premier.
It can always have a breakout.
Exactly. It's just, you know, you look at them, they don't have a whole lot of star power. They have a lot of really good players.
Yeah.
It's one of the it's who can get them over the hump. And I feel like that's what's going to happen with a lot of these teams in the East. Like, you go look at the Western Conference when we're going through these teams, their star power on 1 through 6, no problem. 1 through 8, even arguably, they're superstars. And the East is so top heavy. And it's like, do they have enough star power? Can Paolo Banchero take the next step? Because they were the 5 seed last year. Now, I know that it was tight, and I don't know why it says 7 seed. On our slide here, but they were the 5 seed. But I know it was tight. It was a very tight race. A few games, I think like 3 through 7 were all within like a game and a half of each other.
Yeah.
So I could have shaken either way.
Yeah, 3 through 7 were closer than 1 and 3 were.
Yeah, so. Exactly. It's all a matter of, can Paolo Banchero live up to the expectations of the number 1 overall pick? Can he enter that superstar realm that we've seen Anthony Edwards reach now going into what, his fifth season?
Well, I don't think he has to be. I feel like he's lived up to his expectations as an umbrella overall.
I'm not.
You can't ask for much more production
mm-hmm.
from a guy. But yeah, if what you're saying is he a big enough of a star to get them over the hump? I don't know. I don't think we've seen enough yet. Still got to give him time, of course, but I just don't know.
Thing I like about the Magic is, I mean, like Gabe was saying, Paolo's been playing pretty well. Only 21 years old, has some pretty solid averages for a guy of that age.
It's my age.
I mean, the Magic, Jalen Suggs is going to be up for an extension at the end of the year as well. Same with Wendell Carter. They're a young team. Franz is a very, very good point guard, tall point guard. I definitely think they're a team to look out for in the Eastern Conference. Not enough star power to really go far, but I think we might be able to see him take a playoff series in the first round this year, potentially. But yeah, nothing too crazy out of the Magic this year, I don't think, other than just same as what we saw last year as a playoff team.
I think the Magic will be like a post trade deadline kind of team, like one of those teams that really emerges after the trade deadline.
And yeah. I also think they're going to be pretty, pretty attractive destination for free agents
next year,
potentially, or even at the deadline.
Yeah. So they could definitely, they have space to make a lot of moves. And it's also one of those teams where they don't have to get it together by the beginning of the season. It can
mm-hmm.
take them till the end. These guys are young. They're adaptable. And like we've seen what Franz and Paolo play with
mm-hmm.
teams in like Europe. So these guys really do know how to adapt their game. So post-trade deadline, I'm seeing the Magic rise. There'll probably be, I think, 1 or 2 playoff series at this point in time, obviously not having seen any of the season this year. But they're a sleeper in the playoffs.
This team kind of reminds me of, and we actually just talked about this team earlier in the pod, is like the early days of the Paul George Pacers. Like, they have a lot of good role players.
Yeah.
And the Pacers were competitive. Like, they were a competitive team, and then you've seen Paul George take that next step, and now they're going 7 games with the Miami Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals. It's like, okay, like, Paul George was good. Paolo Banchero was good. Can he elevate his game? Ben Carroll, sorry. Jesus.
Can I let it slide the first time, bro.
Can he elevate his game to great and get this team over the hump? Because then now we're talking a whole different thing. If he can take that next step to greatness. If he can get over that hump, this team could arguably be one of the best teams in the East over the next few years.
Yeah. I mean, and only time will tell. This guy's still young. We gotta give him a space.
Of course.
But he's balling right now. He is. You guys want to move on to the next team?
Yeah, let's go.
Let's do the Miami Heat. This team is always just.
You just don't know.
You just don't know. They're either going to be in the finals or they're out. They're in the play-in. I don't know. Or both. Yeah. I mean, obviously injuries and whatnot, but fully healthy, this team could go to the finals. Who the hell knows?
Just because of three key aspects of their team, and that's Eric Spoelstra, Jimmy Butler, and Bam Adebayo.
Yeah.
All three of those, well, not all, two of those guys healthy. You don't need really Eric Spoelstra to be healthy.
You need a healthy coach.
You need your coach sounding right.
Yeah.
But if Jimmy Butler is healthy, he just has his gear come postseason time. No. It don't matter what seed you are, they will.
It's just hoops at that point, brother. Numbers are numbers.
It's just buckets. It's just Jimmy G buckets. So it's like I can't. It's always so hard to gauge because I look at their roster and I see, oh yeah, they got, you know, picked up Patty Mills at the end of last season. I see here they re-signed Kevin Love, but it's like you look at their roster and you're like, okay, this team is right around where they should be, the eighth seed of last year, if not, you know. Jimmy Butler gets healthy, they can work their way up into like six or five
playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm talking about. And then they go on a run.
Yeah.
Because Jimmy Butler just has that playoff gear to him. He has that it factor that he can be the best player on the court when he wants to be and when it matters the most.
I want to say it was last year where they picked up Terry Rozier and got rid of Kyle Lowry.
Mm-hmm.
So you definitely can say they upgraded there. Jaime Jaquez Jr. showed a lot of really good things as a rookie last year, so I think that's definitely going to be something to keep an eye on moving forward. If he's going to take another big step in becoming an all-star level player in the league, we also got Nikola Jovic, another young guy who showed a little bit of promise for them as well. They signed Josh Christopher to a two-way. Who a little while ago, Josh Christopher was somewhat high in the draft. Two-way contract, you know, you got the Heat who have made some of these guys actually really good, so you never know what could come of that. Signed Alec Burks as well.
Again,
you never know what you get out of the Heat.
That's the beauty of it, though. Spoelstra is so good. It's like,
you don't know what you're going to get out
Jaime Jaquez Jr., we were like, who the fuck is that? And then all of a sudden, he was out. What, a late first? I mean, come on. How often are we talking about late first-round picks in the NBA draft anymore?
I mean, yeah, but.
Like, yeah, he was a first round pick. Yeah, Jimmy Butler was also a late first round pick. Like, these guys can, but it just goes to show you how good of a coach he was. Like, a big part of their failure was they lost their key role players from their finals run 2 years ago with Caleb Martin and what's his name that went to the Lakers? Gabe Vincent. There it is. Thank you, Vince.
My brother Gabe.
Yeah. Gabe Vincent. Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Yep.
What's his middle name? William?
That would be crazy.
Regan. Gabe William Vincent. That's a tough name, Loki.
That is a cool name.
That's a tough name.
I call it dibs.
And now it's just like, okay, can they get back to having knockdown 3-point shooter role players? I mean, they still have Tyler Hero, obviously. But...
And Duncan Robinson. Don't forget about Duncan Robinson. Kevin Love's also knockdown.
Duncan Robinson went podcast on us, and then we never heard from that man again, really.
He played okay at the end of the year last year.
This is just a team where it's really hard to get into and hard to break down because you just don't know with them.
I know it might be hard, and we also have to go back to the Orlando Magic with this. We should predict or just place them in a light seeding where we think they're going to end up seed-wise by the end of the season.
Fully healthy, 6 seed.
Fully healthy 6 seed for the Miami Heat.
Yeah, no higher than a six, I don't think.
I could see them between I'd put them even the highest at the 5 if something happens. Even and then their lowest probably 8 or 9 again.
The thing about the Heat also is I feel like, you know, at the deadline, and especially because you only got 2 more years of Jimmy Butler, you never know what they're going to do. I mean, this is kind of a win-now team. They got to put everything they have into, like, this core of Jimmy, Bam, and, you know, what they have left of guys like Kevin Love that are coming off the bench, and Patty Mills that they're signing at the end. It's kind of a win-now team. You could expect them to potentially make a move at the deadline or something of that nature. But yeah, I'd have to agree. I mean, you're probably no higher than the five, somewhere within the 5 to 8 range at a healthy on a healthy season.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that you're not going to see him winning 2 playoff series.
Exactly.
That's what's cool about the Heat.
That's what's so awesome about them is like, okay, do I think that in over the course of the regular season they'll have a better record than the Cleveland Cavaliers? No, probably not. But
so much better,
dude. But I'm gonna tell you right now, they'll probably win the, if fully healthy, they'll win the series in 5 or 6 games. Yeah, that's what's so awesome about this team is like they're one of these teams who can get away with just a slight coast to the playoffs because they know when it comes playoff time, they can turn it on.
The high seeds are they can't sit easily. They're mm-hmm. Oh, we're playing the play in winner. Oh, first no. Round's light. Not when you got Jimmy Butler back there.
No.
Yeah, and you got Spoelstra is one of the best coaches in terms of game planning. I mean, playoff series and playoff experience. I mean, that's a team in the playoffs that you definitely do not want to see.
All right, I'm gonna stick with I'm gonna go 7 seed with these guys.
Okay, it's a solid guess. I mean, assuming for injury, probably a little bit, which is pretty likely.
Yep.
A little bit better than last year, but let's go back to the Orlando Magic as well. Where are we putting those guys?
Are we gonna write this down on this slideshow here?
Prediction. I think it's fine.
No, it's all right. We can.
It's light. It's nothing to hold
We'll do like a. We'll do a full prediction podcast right before. You know, this is just us diving into the teams, how we think they're gonna fare this season.
Just a light. I'll probably say Orlando Magic. I want to see them even at the 4.
Yeah.
They easily could be at the 4. Mm-hmm. Celtics, Bucks.
Yep.
This is Sixers. Gonna be a
competitive team.
Yeah, it is.
Sixers are going to be a very competitive team this year too.
So I can't wait to talk about them. But yeah, I'm gonna say 4 seed. I have high hopes for the Orlando Magic.
Yeah, this is a very anticlimactic division, and there's some juicy ones that I know we're all dying to. You know, we want to get the most anticlimactic ones out of the way because we're going to be diving into. Like, I mean,
every team's got their own story. I mean, I've got a couple things to say about the last 3 teams here. So.
Oh, of course. Let's move on to the Atlanta Hawks. Last year, finishing at the 10, being eliminated by the Chicago Bulls in the first game of the play-in, only to the Bulls to fall. Had the number 1 overall pick, where they drafted somebody. Give that name a go, Zachary
Risacher.
That's pretty good. Zachary Risacher. One of the most anticlimactic first overall picks in some time, I would say.
Yeah.
It's like Wemby's little brother or something like that, basically.
Obviously, everyone always says, like, don't look into summer league too hard. I mean, Wemby didn't even do too hot in the summer league himself, and we obviously know that Wemby's generational. But I don't know. It doesn't feel to me like a number 1 overall pick. I don't want to, like, talk down. This is not anything against him. It's just pretty much how I don't like. Does it feel like a number 1 overall pick to you? Does he
no.
like? Does he feel like he holds the same weight as like a Paolo Banchero and Anthony Edwards? Like a, I guess only time will tell.
Obviously. In no way whatsoever do I feel that way. Like I'm not sitting here. I haven't been sitting here thinking about the Atlanta Hawks and what.
Yeah, like
Risacher is going to be doing this year. Like I was all of last year with Wemby, and the year before, and the year before, and the like. I was like Cade. I know Cade has been, you know, somewhat anticlimactic in Detroit, but like I was super excited to see what he could do. There was Pistons fans crying on Twitter when they got the number 1 overall pick about Cade Cunningham. Oh, like
fans are they're through the trenches, man.
They're through the trenches. They haven't been good in like 20 years.
Yeah, for them. But yeah, it just doesn't feel like it to me. I think what his best game in summer league, he had like 11 points in 29 minutes. I don't know.
And I think it's just more or less like we don't think he's going to come in and have an immediate
an 18 point game. My apologies.
we don't think he's going to come in and have an immediate impact for Atlanta.
He's definitely a developed player.
Mm-hmm. And no longer having DeJounte Murray.
I think that's good for the Atlanta.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we saw what Trae Young was without him.
They weren't a good duo. It was good on paper, but we obviously saw with the entirety of last season, it just wasn't it.
Yep.
Not it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, this new guy coming in, he can score.
Try and say his name, Vince.
Zachary Risacher. You know,
bonjour.
The guy can score. He's 6'9". He's got some length to him. Athleticism. Yeah, he's got an upside, of course, in playing with a guy like Trae Young. You never know how he could pan out. Not someone that I think anybody is really high on, really. In terms of the Hawks, though, I mean, getting rid of DeJounte Murray, definitely a good move for them. Didn't really pan out the way that everyone thought it was going to. I think we're going to be seeing the exact same thing out of the Atlanta Hawks. We might see them jump to the 9 seed because the Bulls are probably going to fall. But, I mean, I can't really see them jumping more than one seeding at the very most. I mean, the Hawks haven't really done too much over the offseason. Obviously, draft pick, trade DeJounte Murray, acquire a couple of people from the Pelicans, and that's about it. So,
yeah, I can't see them winning any more than 36 games. Than they did last year, they won 36. I don't see them winning any more than that. No. They got cool city jerseys, though.
They do have cool,
very
city,
cool.
Jerseys.
Cool city jerseys. That's the upside.
That's the thing is, like, okay, are we going to get Trae Young without DeJounte Murray? Like, are we going to get that Trae Young?
I think yes. I actually don't know.
Because if we get that Trae Young, this team could be.
Yeah, but you also
could
have
be
to,
floating in the seventh seed.
You got to try and develop. Risacher, got to give him the ball, have the rock in his hands a lot. Trae Young playing like that is 100% ball dominant. But I mean, these two could be a cool dynamic. He's sick. Like, what'd you say, Vince? 6'9"?
6'9", yeah. Athletic, can yeah. shoot.
So, I mean, Trae Young type always can work with the bigger guys. He's a small guard. It's classic basketball.
I mean, yeah, if him and Clint Capella could work.
Yeah, he can make it work with this guy, too. And I just want to clarify, we are not talking down on Risacher. We really don't know. And I'm just saying it doesn't feel like a number one overall pick to me. I'm excited for him to pop out. You know, I want to be like, oh, yeah, this guy's a dog.
I'm not shitting on him in any way.
They're
whatsoever.
Really, really yeah, young.
I'm just saying I'll speak for myself. I don't really know what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
But
half of these guys on these roster are not over the age of 25.
Yeah, that's an upside too. Really young team. Let's see what Quinn Snyder can do.
He's a great coach. Yeah, he's a great coach.
They picked up Larry Nance too.
Well, whoopty fucking do.
A lot of height underneath the basket for this team. That's good for Trae Young.
All right.
Oh boy.
Yeah, I'm sticking with the 10 seed. I think they're gonna finish in the exact same spot.
That's fair. I'll go 9.
Yeah, no higher than 9.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to the Charlotte Hornets.
What a team.
This is a team that we need to note. LaMelo Ball missed 80 games last season.
He only played 2 games last year?
70 games. I'm sorry. He played 22 12. Games. So
he missed
70. 60.
He missed 60 games.
Yeah, 60 games.
There we go.
All right, we're going to redo that.
But we're good. We're good.
They missed LaMelo Ball for 60 games last year.
Mm-hmm.
Big deal. Very big deal. LaMelo Ball is...
What was their seeding again when he played the whole year?
He didn't play. I don't think
that one year that he played the entire year. I forget what their seeding was.
Let's look that up.
It wasn't even that good.
Do that right now.
No, I'm just fucking with Vince because I know that he's a big fucking big mellow ball guy.
LaMelo Ball has his career stats are very high for a guy of his age. 26 points a game. I think like 8 assists. Let me see though. I'm pulling it up right.
I mean, yeah, when he was having really good output with the Charlotte Hornets. I mean, it was nice to see. It was this guy can hoop. He's putting up flashy plays. It was nice to see on my Instagram, but they weren't winning.
Yeah, they're
it
a
was,
terrible.
It wasn't
team.
Winning basketball. You know, it's going in the right direction though. 100%. They've got Brandon Miller.
Yeah.
I think he...
He showed a lot.
He did show a lot.
Brandon Miller played great.
He played amazing. And, you know, he's just a unicorn.
Yeah, this could be.
This is getting way too common, man. It's making me uncomfortable. All these unicorns. What's going on, man? No,
this is a very, very young team that has yet to see a full potential of their best player. I don't think, obviously, the Charlotte Hornets are not going to be any more than a play-in team at the best. However, I think they could be a play-in team.
I was going to say,
a good season out of LaMelo Ball, full season out of LaMelo Ball.
This is probably the candidate to replace the Bulls. Like, if I had to pick a team to replace the Bulls.
I'm okay with that.
And they picked up Seth Curry.
Yeah, good pickup. And they re-signed Miles Bridges. RTB.
It's just, I mean, you look at Brandon Miller's rookie season. His numbers are great for a rookie. Can he take that next step with him being in the lineup at the same time as LaMelo Ball? I think yes. Obviously, LaMelo Ball is a facilitator of the basketball. Can Brandon Miller take another step after his rookie year? Get himself into that low 20s points per game. More of a facilitator, getting the boards, whatever. With LaMelo Ball, this could be the team. Like you said, adding vet players like Taj Gibson, Seth Curry, and bringing back Miles Bridges. This could be the 10 seed if Brandon Miller can take the next step.
LaMelo Ball
plays a full season.
They did draft 6 overall, too, like what Gabe was about to say.
Yeah, dude, they also did get another French unicorn.
Stop saying unicorn for 6 overall pick. You got to float that.
6 overall.
You got to float
that. Do you
know
what unicorn means?
The 6 overall.
Yeah,
pick.
Like a freak of nature. Like one in a lifetime kind of.
Okay.
Once in a lifetime kind of player. Victor Wembanyama was a unicorn.
Okay. All right. Sure. All right.
That's not even
fuck,
to say that.
Fuck my unicorn. That they,
that's
okay,
not
they
even.
Have to, another
this guy's
six,
only
nine
6
French
nine.
Guy.
That's not even to say that unicorns 6, 9, always nine. Live up to their potential. You know who's 6, a unicorn? Kyle Pitts was a unicorn. Kyle Pitts is a bum.
All right.
I'm just saying.
We got him talking football.
I'm just saying. Unicorns, like, you got to stop floating the word.
All right.
Lightly.
All right. My apologies, sir. I'll take it back.
Thank you.
They did just draft another 6'9 French forward.
We'll see how he does.
He's got a nice game. I did watch some.
Third best French to come out of the draft, though, in a weak draft class.
Is this a French league now?
It's getting there.
I think.
I don't know. Did you miss the gold game, brother?
No, I did not.
No.
I did not.
Say no fucking French league.
Facts. All right. Yeah. 10th seed. Hopefully they're doing better. I want to start wearing my LaMelo Ball jersey more. So.
I didn't even know you had one.
That's so cool. That's so cool. LaMelo Ball is awesome, man. I love watching that guy play. He's so good at basketball.
This is the slight gap that we have between us. Like that, there's the slight gap.
What?
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
Like,
is LaMelo, he too young and cool for you, dog?
Yeah,
young and cool. So yeah. you don't like Anthony Edwards?
You don't like the tattoos?
Eh.
You don't really like Anthony Edwards, really?
I don't know. I like his game.
Your colors are showing.
Dude, Anthony Edwards is funny.
Your unk is showing, dude.
I'm not gonna sit here and shit on Anthony Edwards. Like Anthony Edwards is a fucking dog. Like,
well, Melo Ball's
the man's
cool,
a
man.
Monster.
Yeah, these all guys, purple these guys Rolls are my Royce. Age, that's pretty
in
cool.
The league right now, they're me and Vince's age.
You know, this is like my Zion. Ball. Like Zion is like my age, where like, you know, it was like super cool when he was coming out when I was like in high school.
RJ Barrett.
No, I was not an RJ Barrett guy. Never liked RJ Barrett. I'm trying to think of who was the class before. Like Kobe White was another one of my dogs. UNC, I loved him at UNC. I'm a UNC fan, so I was like, go Kobe White. You know, Kobe White was one of my guys. I'm trying to think of a couple others, but I can't really put my finger on it.
Kobe White was a part of a pretty big draft class. Was he not?
But I'm just saying, like, your guys' favorite players growing up were like Russell Westbrook. Mine was like
Gabe.
Kevin Durant.
That was just Gabe. My favorite player growing up just retired today. All right, give me a break.
That's not that big of a gap.
There's a gap in terms of peaks and primes. Like KD, I was like dick riding KD, like 2012, 2011 KD. Like Russ didn't hit. You were dick riding Russell Westbrook in like 2016, 2017. That's the slight gap. There's just a slight gap. Like you guys. busting out my LaMelo Ball jersey. Like, that's crazy to me. That's crazy. Like, okay. I could not wear a LaMelo Ball jersey.
Why?
I just couldn't.
You're too fucking lame.
See, look, I never thought – I would always make fun of my dad for this. My dad can't wear jerseys of players younger than him.
Yeah, you're wearing a kid's jersey. That's crazy.
He's like, this is the same – this is the – this kid's the same age of my son. He's like, what the hell, like –
Yeah, be happy for him. Fuck it. What are you talking about?
Like, he never wore a Derrick Rose jersey. My dad did. I tried so often to get him to buy a Derrick Rose jersey.
I had a couple younger than me. I had a black one and a red one. I obviously grew out of both of them fast, but got a jersey guy.
He wore some of them younger, but it was like a cutoff. Like, he wore, like, he's older than my dad's older than Brian Urlacher, but he would wear a Brian Urlacher jersey because my dad was still young when the Bears drafted Brian Urlacher. He was only like 30, you know, whatever. Not the end of the world, but like now that he's older, it's like he can't wear anyone new. He's like, whoa, getting to my son's age.
Like, that's pretty fair.
And that's funny. I would like.
Not. I'm not there yet. Even though I don't think I own a single jersey of anyone younger than me, but
I don't think I would either. I don't get jerseys though, so like I don't even have jerseys of like.
Oh, I got a fat ass jersey collection upstairs.
Yeah, I would 100% get a jersey of someone younger than me.
I was thinking about it. I was like, should I get a Matas?
Actually, wait, Wemby's younger than me.
Fuck. Matas.
Yeah, you still no. Yeah.
Fuck.
He is younger than you.
That's depressing to think about. Let's go to our next
shout out for Mr. Gray.
This guy's making millions of dollars being the peak at my favorite sport, and I'm
All right, the other team in the Southeast Conference who drafted a French player, arguably
number two,
was the best player in this draft. I know that there was a lot going back and forth between Sar and Risa Cher.
We won't know
until we exactly
halfway through the season.
Exactly. I think that when we sat down, and I remember me and you specifically sitting down and watching Sar versus Risa Cher, we thought Sar was better.
Yeah, no, I definitely like what I see in Sar's game.
More.
Risa Cher just, he looks like it's getting to that format where if you're 6'9",
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's been a thing forever. I mean, going all the way back to everyone thought Kristaps, like, what are we doing here? But,
yep.
Kristaps. It's just something so appealing about that in a prospect when drafting.
A lot of upside to a guy. A lot of upside, athleticism and length and height and can defend a little bit. I mean, you got a guy with the length of these guys as well as the height.
I mean, I will say until like recently, it doesn't have that high of a success rate. But it's getting more and more common is what I'm saying. So
yeah,
we could definitely see Alex Sar just absolutely dominate.
That's what I'm like. This is another team. It's such a coin flip.
We have no idea.
Like, if Sar comes in and he's immediately good and has an immediate impact, this team is not bad.
They also cooked in offseason with their pickups.
Yeah.
Jonas Valanciunas, Malcolm Brogdon, Sadiq Bey.
Adding that Jordan Poole, adding that to Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah.
Like, if Sar comes in and he's a dog, whoa, this team is completely different.
Yeah, and I hate to say it, but Jordan Poole can still get buckets. I did go to two Wizards-Bulls games. Both times, Jordan Poole just decided to turn on the fucking flames and cooked us.
Must have saw somebody in the stands.
Yeah. So you
somebody's in the front row.
Nah, he was actually looking pretty yeah, he saw me and my dad sitting there. No.
he was like, oh, I gotta play for this guy.
he was actually looking pretty unshaved. It looked like he was just straight. He had that like Joe Mazzulla in the finals look where he like hadn't seen a razor in months. Just straight hoops. But yeah, he was cooking. The Wizards here, I don't even want to put them high. I don't like the Wizards for some reason. It just feels gross to me. But
no, they're unproven. They're still not a playoff team.
Yeah, still unproven. Not play. No. Nowhere near playoffs. Maybe playing. Maybe.
That's what I'm saying. If any, like,
I think best
first
case
off,
scenario,
the Bulls could still, unfortunately, be the 10.
Modest.
With LaVine, Coby White.
Oh, God.
Vooch.
I just dread it so much.
Like, we discussed, like, they should have traded DeMar DeRozan a while ago.
DeMar.
We're going to see how their game is.
Miss you, DeMar.
Should have been shipped as soon as Lonzo Ball was down.
Well, you see, Zach's here. Zach wants to stay.
Yeah, of course he does. Because where else is he going to play?
No way. After everyone else said, nah, we don't want him. He's like, wait.
But then he was like, oh, okay.
We're not here to talk
I'll,
about the Bulls.
I guess
we're not here to talk about the Bulls. We always do this. We always compare somebody to the Bulls, talk
I'm
about
just
the Bulls.
Ready, and then we I'm just start talking about the season Bulls. So much. It feels like a chore. It's going to feel like a chore to have to watch the Bulls.
It does.
Dude,
I'm still going to go to a game.
I'm going for – I went to six last year. I'm going for seven.
Yeah, I'm with it.
I'm going for it. 7 this year. Sadly,
last year I think I did.
What you're four? Trying to? You're gonna? You're actually gonna give money to the Reinsdorf? Yeah. No. Yep. Oh my god,
dude. We're Chicago sports fans. We still go to the games.
Yeah.
So. I'll maybe go to one. I'll maybe go to one if you're lucky. I refuse. I refuse. Nobody should be paying money to go see that product that they put out there every single year.
I asked you
because the Bulls are content with what they are every single year because that people go watch. They sell out crowds because of this history of Michael Jordan.
Look, buddy, if you think you if you think Reinsdorf is
fuck off,
we can't do this. Not on the day of Derrick Rose's retirement.
I get it. You're right.
Let's just
Washington Wizards could be fucking good.
Could be good is crazy. This team is not getting out of the. This team is not going to be in the play-in. I could guarantee this is going to be at the bottom of the league again.
Yep.
come on. Alex Sarr
steps in the right direction.
Have to be better it's very than Wembanyama for this team to be anywhere near the playoffs.
No, he would not.
That's not true.
For them to be near the playoffs?
No. In the Eastern Conference, if he's better than Wembanyama, this team's probably a playoff team.
That's what I said. He would have to be better than Wembanyama for them to be a playoff team. That's exactly what I just said. Word for word.
Not even playing here.
Yeah, they're not going to be in the play-in. Maybe. Maybe they'll get the last. I mean,
I said it was between these guys and the Hornets to maybe take that last spot.
I mean, they added some good players, but I mean, is Brogdon not 30 at this point? Valanciunas is, also a little older. I mean, they'll be good. They'll be better than they were last year. They won't be that good.
What? So there's 5 teams that didn't make the plan. 2 of them being the Hornets, 1 of them being the Pistons, and then the other 2 being the Nets. Definitely not going to be the Nets. Promise you it won't be the Nets. The Nets are probably the worst.
The worst in the league. I can't wait to talk about the Nets. They've gone
the
from
they missed the play-in. Had to be
what's that? Who missed the play-in?
Yeah, Raptors.
Yeah, to us.
We played the Hawks.
We played the Hawks.
Yeah, but they missed the play-in. We barely beat the Raptors to get in there.
No, they had to play somebody, though. The Heat had to play somebody. Pacers.
To get to us?
No, it wasn't Pacers.
The Pacers?
Yeah, because the Heat had to lose. The Heat lost.
Let me look this up. 2024.
Oh, the Heat lost to the Sixers. It was the Sixers.
Yeah.
Remember, because they lost Joel Embiid. It was the Sixers. I promise you it was the Sixers.
Yes.
He's looking it up, and I'm telling you, it's the Sixers.
All right.
And now he's gonna fact check it and be like, "Oh yeah, it was the Sixers."
Sixers Heat.
What did I tell you?
All right. And yes. But that was our quick rundown.
Yeah.
Of the Southeast.
Five
more of these podcasts.
Hopefully, a lot more entertaining divisions.
Yeah. Yeah. We gave you guys the shittiest one first.
Can we give a little tease? What are we doing next time?
The next one will be, I believe.
What did we say we were going to do, though?
Southwest?
Yeah, I was going to say.
I cannot confirm nor deny that. I will confirm with you on that in 2 seconds.
Southwest.
Today is, so next Friday, a week from today, is going to be the Southwest, yes.
Yeah, so we're going to have the Dallas Mavericks, the New Orleans Pelicans, the Rockets, the Grizzlies, the Spurs. So
that'll be a fun
definite
one.
Teams to talk about.
That'll be
lot,
a fun
lot,
one.
A lot better.
I'm excited. This was probably the worst division to go through. I'm excited about that. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Walk the Pine. My name is Will Gray, joined here as always by Vince and Gabe. Derrick Rose, you are the best. We love you so much.
Chicago loves you, brother.
All in for D-Rose.
Happy retirement, man.
All in for D-Rose. Hashtag
always
the return.
And forever.
Peace.